Thank you, Father, that we have comfort in your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you promise that with every storm there will also be an end to it, and that you will turn it for our good. And in the end, Father, as we sail away from this harbor, Lord, we will be stronger with you than ever before. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the comfort. We thank you for your promises. And we look in hope into your hands. We place our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning I want to continue with the parables. We're still in Matthew chapter 13, and I want us to start with the parable of the tares. In verse 24, last week we looked at the parable of the sower, and Jesus continued with this parable. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field." Such a powerful way Jesus speaks, and he always, most of his parables, he starts with this phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like." The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servants said to him, "Do you want us to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat and with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn, into my barn." It's quite a powerful sermon, or let's say powerful parable, not a sermon. But let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word, Lord. We want to thank you that it is true. God, thank you that you have saved us out of this world into your kingdom. Lord, we're here this morning to learn more about your kingdom. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will teach us your ways, the way your kingdom works, so that we may apply it in our lives and reap its benefits. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the context of this parable is quite interesting, and yet it helps us to understand. The context of this parable is very plain. It's the same crowd that Jesus just spoke to about the parable of the sower that we know so well, the sower that sows the seed. And in that parable where Jesus used the same imagery as he's using now, he's continuing the same theme. He's saying in the first parable we read about the sower that went to sow the seed, and some fell among the wayside, some fell among the rocks, some fell among the thorns, and some fell on good soil. And in that parable we saw that the seed is the Word of God. And that the seed is good, but the response to the Word of God is different. Wherever that seed is sown, wherever the good seed is sown, the first parable tells us that there is a different response to the good seed. So the first parable was all about the good seed. That good seed is being sown, but the response to the good seed is different. Well, in this parable, we hear that it's not just good seed that's been sown. There's also bad seed being sown. The first parable we heard about the good seed and the response to the good seed, but the second parable, Jesus here continues to speak about other seed that has been sown with the good seed. So it's not just good seed that has been sown. There are other seeds growing amongst those who receive the good seed. So among those who receive the good seed that would produce 160 and 30-fold, there's also other seed that has been sown, but not just sown, there's other seed growing. In the same way the good seed is growing, there's also bad seed growing. And both produce a crop. Third thing that Jesus speaks about in this parable is this question about where does the bad seed come from? Does this bad seed come from you, God? Is there something wrong with the word? Is there something wrong with the gospel? Why is there bad among the good? Where does this come from? Is it you, God? And Jesus answers that and says, no, it's my enemy that sows these seeds. And then fourthly, this parable speaks about what will happen in the end. There's a clear distinction between the good and the bad. There's a clear distinction between those who have received good seed and those who have received bad seed. So here in Matthew chapter 13, from verse 36, Jesus explains this parable. So Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came saying to him, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. Jesus answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, and so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out for his kingdom, of his kingdom, all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. For there will be a wailing and a gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Challenging parable. I mean, in between the parable of the sower and the parable of the tares, there was also the parable of the mustard seed that is sown in the garden. We spoke about last week and about the yeast that is mixed in the dough and it grows. Interesting, the disciples didn't ask Jesus what those meant, but they did ask him this one. Because it's quite nerve-wracking, it's quite revealing, this parable. It speaks not just about the reality of good and bad seed that is sown. It not just speaks about the fact that both will grow, but it speaks about the end of all things. It's the first time Jesus actually makes a distinction and clarity about the end of the age to the multitudes. For the first time, Jesus speaks about what will happen in the end. It's quite powerful. He also speaks of the first time he makes a distinction that those who will reap heaven is not the elect. It's not the Jews. He makes a distinction for the first time that it's not about Jew or Gentile. It's about those who practice righteousness. They will inherit the kingdom. It's quite controversial for its time, because in Israel, they believed if you were Jew, you inherit the kingdom. All of a sudden, Jesus challenges that concept, that theology. He says, no. It's not about election. It's not about whether you're Jew or Gentile. It's about whether you practice righteousness or not. It's whether you are righteous or not. We know our righteousness is in Christ. We know of those who are in Christ practice righteousness. So Jesus is speaking about, listen here, it's not about your election. It's about your faith in me that determines where you end. That was quite challenging. But here, if we look at the detail, Jesus is the sower and the word is the truth. And this is really what the parable is about. It's about the different seed that has been sown in this world and a response to those seed. The truth and the gospel is the good news sown into the world. And it's interesting. It's so interesting, as the good news is sown into this world, the gospel, there's also other news sown into this world. It's not just good seed that's been sown in this world. It's not just the gospel. Not only are different seed being sown, it's so interesting. The word repentance, one of the meanings of repentance is a change of mind, a change of the way you think. When the good news comes, when the truth comes, you need to change the way you think. Because it's not just good seed. In this world, there are many gospels. There are many messages. There are many truths presented. But it's not all good truth. Some of it is evil and false. And Jesus speaks about the fact that in this world, good and bad is sown, but you need to choose what you're going to believe. That will determine the harvest. As a matter of fact, you need not just to choose what you believe, you need to apply it to your life. You're either going to apply the truth to your life or you're going to apply the lie to your life. That is how it germinates. That is how it grows. That's why the first parable spoke about how different people respond to the truth. Now Jesus brings in another reality that in the kingdom, in this world, there is also bad seed sown. And people will choose what they believe, and what they believe will grow in them, but the fruit are different. You know, the challenging thing about this different seed, when it germinates in us, when it starts to grow, initially it looks the same. You can't distinguish between the truth and the lie initially, but at the end, when it's time for the harvest, the fruit are completely different. That's why Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruit. They might look the same, but look at the fruit. That will help you to distinguish between the two. But we need to be aware that it's not only good seed sowing. It is Satan who sows bad seed. It's a deliberate action by the evil one to deceive. It's a deliberate action. It's not a misunderstanding of the truth. No, it's a deliberate spreading of the lie. Because Satan's seed is not truth, it is a lie. He is the father of all lies. That's what he does. He lies. And he's very clever. He's very good at it. He's been practicing for 6,000 years in humanity. He's been practicing the lie. He's been very effective initially. From the beginning, he perfected it. We know in the beginning when Satan came to man the first time, his first words was questioning God's word. Did God really say? Did God really mean when he said, do not, that it means do not? Did he really mean that? And then he reinterpreted God's word. He said, actually, do not does not mean do not. You know? You will not die. And then, of course, you know, the bait that triggered pride in man. It's just, you can be like God. You can decide for yourself. See, he sugarcoated the lie, and he mixed truth with the lie. That makes it so dangerous. You know, all deception is based on truth. All deception is based on truth. There's a measure of truth in it. Otherwise, you wouldn't believe it. But mixed with it, there is the lie. When the seed germinates in us, it looks the same. When it grows, it seems the same, but its fruit is completely different. The fruit is completely different. As I was preparing, I just felt a word for us as parents. I believe God is speaking to us as parents. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And went his way. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed bad seed. What seed has been sown in the lives of our children? What are the seed that our children are exposed to when we are not watching? What is the seed that's been sown in our children when we are not watching? What are they watching on TV when we are not watching? Do not be deceived. It's not just good seed that's been sown in this world. The devil is deliberately sowing bad seed. Oh, it's very subtle. Oh, it seems so innocent. It seems so pleasing to the eye. Good for wisdom. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. It's not just good seed. This world will not only be giving our children the truth, it will also be giving them the lie. Are we watchful? Are we tending our gardens? Are we watchful about what the seed is sowing and what is growing in our lives of our children? Or are we just going on with our own lives? How much good seed are they exposed to as opposed to the bad seed? I mean, what is the ratio of good seed sown versus the lie sown? I mean, you can watch any channel. Won't just be good seed. How much seed has been sown in our children while we are not watching? It says, while men slept, his enmity came and sowed tares among the wheat. How important is this to us? How important is the sowing of seed in the lives of our children? How important is it to us? Or are we just saying, ach, you know what? The good seed will grow and the bad seed will grow and in the end, there'll be a good harvest. Well, don't be naive. The parable is all about it. But the question is, how important is it to us, the seed being sown into our children? I want to make an appeal to our parents. You need to watch what they are watching. You need to listen to what they're listening. And I'm not saying don't expose them at all to anything that is of this world. I mean, you can try to do that, but that's not so wise. We need to rather be watching what they're watching. Of course, you need to tell them not to watch this and not to watch that. And where we can, we need to protect them of the bad seed in this world. But we can try to not tell them about the invention of the television. And hide the fact that there's something called the cinema. We can try and do that, but they're going to figure it out. And being curious, they're going to explore it anyway. So what I am saying is you must watch what they watch. You must listen to what they're listening so that you can use it as an opportunity to teach them discernment between the lie and the truth. So that you can teach them the right and that you can pull out what is wrong. What you cannot prevent from coming in, use it as an opportunity. But you must watch what they are watching. Can't just go to sleep and trust that Disney Channel will give them the truth. Because guess what? It will not. It will give them the lie. Looks like the truth. Watch Disney Channel. You'll be shocked. But we must make this as an opportunity. Remember, initially, when the two different seeds grow, you may not see the difference until the fruit comes. That's why you need to tend your garden early. When the seed is sown, identify what is good and bad. And when it grows, you need to know which ones to pull out. And if you don't realize this, you might end up with surprised when the harvest comes. The servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" You know what the reality is? I don't want to tell you what's going on in our high schools. You really don't want to know what's going on in our high schools. If you don't believe Jesus, just go and speak to the teachers in our high schools, in this fancy, nice high school. What are the things that are happening there? What are the fruit in the children of our teenagers? Or in the hearts and lives of our teenagers. It's not just good seed that has been sown. We must take a responsibility. We must be aware that in this life, it won't just be good seed, it will also be bad seed. And we have a responsibility to take care of our gardens and make sure that there are more good seed sown than bad seed. That's one way. I mean, we cannot possibly control how much exposure they have. And to a measure we can prevent the bad seed being sown. So there's certain things your children should not watch. There's certain channels they should not watch. And there's certain movies when they do watch it, you watch it with them. And so there is a measure that we can control how much bad seed is sown. But there's also, on the positive, there's a measure in which we control good seed. There are certain things that we can expose our children to. There are certain movies that we can give them to watch. And there are certain places we can take them where we will receive good seed. But it's our responsibility to limit the bad seed and to ensure enough good seed for us as parents. So I want to make a second appeal. Please, help us to sow enough good seed. Help us, the church. It's one of the places they will find good seed. One of the places your children will find good seed is at church. So I want to appeal to you as parents. Help us to sow enough good seed. Yes, you might think we can leave it to the schools. We'll get to that. But please help us. Help us to sow enough good seed. Help us to create an environment where the seed has the best chance to grow. And I want to ask all parents, please help us. If your children are in Kiddies Church, help us. The Kiddies Church is taking strain. It's taking strain. The classes are getting bigger and bigger, and we're burning out our teachers. We're burning them. So I want to make an appeal. Please, parents, help us. Volunteer once a month as a teacher or as an assistant. Help us to ensure that there is enough good seed sown into our children so that the next generation fruit will be different. Will be different. This is where it starts. So I want to make an appeal. Please help us. The other option is we can leave it to our schools. I mean, they also teach our children. I mean, we can just say, well, you know, if kids just don't make it, that's fine. At least the schools are still Christian. Well, good news for you. No, it's not good news. It's actually bad news. There's currently a court case going on to ban Christianity from schools in South Africa. I don't know if you don't know. In case you haven't noticed, there's a court case that's currently undergoing that is trying to ban Christianity from all public schools completely. I'll give you a headline where it's going. I was in the UK for 7 years. In the primary school, religion is banned out of the public schools. You're not allowed to pray. You're not allowed to teach Jesus in public schools. What they do so, however, in sex education, in primary schools, you have certain assignments, like you've got to go buy a condom and then give a report on your experience. There you go. Kids, this is your assignment for the week. Go and buy a condom, primary school kids, and write down your experience. The other thing they love doing is, another assignment is, you must go and explore your sexuality and come back and tell us whether you heterosexual, bisexual, or homosexual. Primary school. Primary school. Practical assignment. Or other thing that's very popular, it's actually on TV while I was there, and that's about 7 years ago. They have a road show that they go to all the public schools, primary schools, and they have 12 naked women that they come into the classes and they strip completely to show the children that this is normal nudity, not what you see in pornography. Okay, this is the schooling coming to you soon. Okay, there's a court case going on at this moment to ban Christianity out of the schools. Please pray for that. Please pray for that. The judgment, the court case is over. The judgment comes out in the next 2 to 3 months. Please pray for those judges. Okay. you will do that at the end. What I'm saying is, don't be deceived. It's not just good seed that's been sown in this world. It's bad seed. We need to take responsibility as owners, as parents. As parents, to make sure we sow enough good seed and that we are watchful on the other seed that's been sown. So watch with your children what they are watching and listen to what they are listening and use it as an opportunity to teach them to discern. Because you know what? We must not just tell them this is wrong, this is right. We must learn. We must teach them. We must teach them to discern for themselves. We must teach them to give a defense, a reason why certain things are right and certain things are wrong. That's our responsibility as parents, because the teachers won't do that. Soon we'll have a campaign at the primary school and in the high school for a whole term to present the gospel to the children. It's all the churches in the community working together. We'll give you more detail. Please, parents, be involved. There are people praying in the primary schools. There are people praying in the high schools. Please join them to pray. Let's pray for seed. Let's be proactive, because it's not just good seed that's been sown. It's not just good seed. If all the parents volunteer for Children's Church, you'll only need to be on duty once every 2 months. Fathers can also volunteer. That means the wives only need to be on duty every 4 months. How's that for a deal? How important is this to you? But it's not just our children's hearts that are vulnerable. It's our hearts. What are the truths that you are believing? What are the truths that you're believing? What are the seeds being sown in your life? What are the seeds that you're exposing yourself to? And what of those seeds are you believing, accepting in your life? Did God create the world, or did the Big Bang? Are we descendants of Adam and Eve or of monkeys? Did sin enter the world through two cells or through a man called Adam? What is the consequence of sin? Well, consequence of sin is death. Now, if death came through evolution, through two cells that died over billions of years, and then finally Adam appeared, then there was death before sin. And if there was death before sin, the gospel makes no sense. Because Jesus came to become a man, because sin entered through a man, that's why he became a man, to die for the consequence of sin, to set us free from the consequence of sin, which is death. And then the whole gospel is flawed, and we can close this book and get another one written by a guy with a weird surname called Dawkins. And we can teach from that. What lies are you believing? I mean, the reality is, it's not just good seed being sown out there, it's bad seed. And we need not just to guard the hearts of our children, we need to guard our own hearts. We need to be aware of this. It's not just good seed. It might sound good, it might look good, but it's not necessarily good. And you know what? You will find the fruit of it when it matures. So what are the seed that has been sown in your life, and what do you believe? Or more importantly, who do you believe? Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe the Bible, or do you believe Dawkins? Or maybe Darwin? I mean, who do you believe? The devil sows very subtly, even within the church. Initially, as these two seeds grow, you might not see the difference. But in the end, the fruit is of a completely different kind. So let us be aware. Colossians 2 verse 8 says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophies and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." That's why 2 Corinthians 10 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." We must take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish disobedience when our or your obedience is complete. So we have a responsibility to take every thought captive. We have a responsibility to do that. You have a responsibility to see the seed coming into your life and to take captive every single seed and make sure it's obedience to Christ, and to destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Because the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming, and in the end, the fruit will be revealed, and that will determine where you're going. Hell is a reality. I know some says, I mean, there's a seed being sown into the church. It's a lie that hell does not exist and everybody comes to heaven. Well, it's a lie. It's either a lie or Jesus is lying. It's one of the two. Hell is either real or it's not. If it's not real, then Jesus is a liar. And then we must close this book and get another one. Jesus says here, "Cast them into the furnace of fire where there will be a wailing and a gnashing of teeth." You know, that verse was not the parable. It's the explanation of the parable. It's the explanation. Hell is reality. Don't let anybody deceive you. It's the first time there was a distinction made between the righteous and the unrighteous as to determine your destination. But you know what? That's not all that Jesus speaks about. He does not just speak about hell. He speaks about heaven. He speaks about the other destination. He speaks about the fact that the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And that is such an awesome promise. There's such an awesome promise that those who do receive the good seed, those who allow it to germinate and to grow and to allow the fruit of it produced in their life, 160 and 30-fold, there is a great and glorious future. There is great hope that we will be with Him in His kingdom, and there will be no sin. There will be no lawlessness. There will not be sickness. There will be no death. There will be nothing evil except the presence and the goodness of God and the overflowing joy of being in His presence. Now that gives me great hope. It gives me great assurance. And because I know that's where I'm going, I don't do these things because this is where I'm going. And I want to encourage you with that. That is where God has called us to. It is not just a warning. It is a great expectation. That is the wortel, if you may, of our life. It is hope. It's called hope. It's central to the gospel. It is the fact that as we follow Him, there is an end to the suffering in this world. There is an end to the suffering that we face because we are following Him. The end is to be with Him forever. And that is a glorious end. And because of that, because we are sure of that, you know, if you are sure of that, if you place your hope in that, you know what? You don't get distracted with these things because you know where you're going. And that is the great promise that God has given us. And therefore, He ends off, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So let us be watchful, and let us also be praying for the seed that has been sown in our lives, in our children's lives. Let us tend our garden. Let us tend the garden, that we may watch what we watch and to whom we listen. Let us be watchmen of our families and of our children. And let us make sure that enough good seed is sown in the best possible way. for Kiddies Church. Let us close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you that you have given us life through your Son. God, thank you that in him we have eternal life with you forever. We have this great hope in us, and because you call us a spear, we purify ourselves, Lord. We are watchful over what enters into our mouths and what comes out of it. What enters into our mind, Lord, to take it captive, Lord, and to bring it into obedience, whatever is contrary to who you are. So, Lord, this morning I pray that you will, by your Spirit, reveal to us what seed has been sown, not just in our families, but in our own hearts. God, I pray that you will come and show us what is good and what is bad. Lord, I pray even right now as we are here this morning, Lord, that you just by your Spirit will just come and reveal to us seed being sown and our responsibility as watchmen in our family. Lord, that we will not be asleep while the enemy comes, but we'll be waiting for him at the door to turn him away. And the seed that does manage to come in, Father, I pray that you will give us the wisdom to teach our children not just what is right and wrong, but to discern between right and wrong, and how to live what is right and reject what is wrong. Give us teaching opportunities, Lord, when wrong is being sown, Lord. Make us wise, Lord, in equipping our children to give a reason for the hope that they have. Lord, help us to have enough seed in us, Lord, that produces fruit, Lord, that they can see that fruit and see that that is good fruit. That is the end of the truth, is this fruit. And Lord, I pray that you will make us fruitful with your truth, that our children will see in us, Lord, what is the fruit of the truth. Lord, I pray that you will make us fruitful in this community, Lord, when unbelievers see the church, Lord, that they do not see the bad fruit, Lord, but they see the good fruit. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there will be enough good fruit in our churches, Lord, in this community, that when the world looks at us, they see our fruit and they want it. Lord, I pray for that in us. Lord, I pray, Lord, for this court case, Lord. I pray for those judges, Lord, that needs to decide, Lord, between the right of the unbeliever and the right of the believers, Lord, whether we are a Christian nation or not, Lord, whether we have the right, Lord, to express, Lord, our faith and have an opportunity, Lord, to teach our children the truth, Father. I pray, Father, as there's enough bad seed sown through the educational system, Lord, that there might also be an opportunity for good seed to be sown, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will give insight and wisdom and revelation to those three judges, Lord, that they will make a good decision. Lord, we pray for their hearts. Lord, we pray that you will visit them, Father, when they are sleeping, Lord, that you will sow good seed in their hearts. Lord, we pray and we bring this nation before you, Father, that we love so desperately, Lord. May it turn to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we go about our daily walk, that we would be watchful what seed we sow with our mouths. Lord, help us to speak life wherever we go and not death. Make us mindful, Lord, that we sow more life than death. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. And I want to give you an opportunity just for a moment where you are seated, just to allow the Holy Spirit to come and speak to your heart about seed sown and truth believed and lies accepted. Allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to him and our responsibility towards our children and the next generation. Just where you are, I'm going to give you a moment just to respond to God's word in your own heart. Father, I pray that you will expose to us any compromise, any weed growing, This morning, God, we take responsibility for that compromise and that weed that's growing in our hearts, Lord, and we want to confess it before you. We want to ask you, Father, deliver us. Cleanse us, God, come. Lord, take away that compromise, Lord. We want to be watchful gardeners so that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name.
I just wish to encourage you about Kids Church. Michelle and I had the privilege of being involved with Kids Church. And I want to thank all of you for what you've done into your children, because we learned so much from the children. That children told us where we were pronouncing the names of people incorrectly, because their name is such and their name is such. And we were so encouraged. We were so encouraged by actually living out the fruit and seeing the fruit of the seed that you parents had sowed into your children. We were blessed. So as the call has gone out here this morning, I encourage you to see how much you will be blessed going in as parents, because we were blessed. I also remember seeing they were interviewing some people, and they were sharing statistics about how they came to be so powerful in the kingdom. And these were people that were out of school, and they were probably midlife. They were probably about 65, 75. And you know, the greater percentage that came out of how they came to know Jesus was through Sunday school. So as this plea has gone out here this morning, it's real. It's real. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for those seeds that you have sowed into your children, that they were able to teach us. They were able to encourage us. So as I encourage all of you, it's real. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.